You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. A Newton goes by the name Choi. Choi worked with San Quentin Radio for a couple of years. He's been in prison since he was 15. Then, last month, after serving 22 years behind bars, he was released on parole. We wanted to hear how the transition back into everyday life has been going. So our lead editor for San Quentin Radio, Marissa Ortega-Welch, sat down with him at the office of his new job in downtown San Francisco to catch up.
Talk us through the day of your release.
I didn't even sleep at all, so I think I was just so antsy and anxious and, you know, just looking forward to my release. I couldn't sleep even if I wanted to. I got to the van crossed the gate, passed the gate, and I walked out of the van, and my family was there. My niece, my nephews ran over and gave me a hug. And my mom was right there, and breaking down. And here I am trying to hold it together, and I couldn't hold it together. I broke down. Yeah, it was really an amazing feeling that morning. And afterwards, we went back to the hotel. My family had spent the night at the hotel.
Because they came in from out of town.
Yeah, and my brothers asked me, hey, what do you want to eat? I was like, oh, I really love mom's cooking. I miss it so much. Mom, can I want to eat some bamboo soup. Just this dish in Laos is called lap, which is like minced meat, right? Meat of your choice. Duck, pork, chicken. I chose the chicken. And she went all out. Had the bamboo soup, had the papaya salad, had the lap, of course, sticky rice. We had a feast in the hotel lobby.
Then what did you do?
We actually went to the city, and one of the first places I went to the city was the beach, Baker's Beach. Took my shoes off, my socks off, put my toes in the water, and it felt really, really great. It was lovely.
What was it like to cross the Golden Gate Bridge?
Oh, in San Quentin. Every night, on the fifth tier, in West Block, you can see the Golden Gate Bridge. Laying on my bunk, looking out the window and seeing this bridge, it was like, for me at that moment, it was like a beacon of hope. So here I am crossing the bridge in the car. All I did was just film it, the whole stretch. It was beautiful.
So then what'd you do after the beach?
Then reality hit. I had to report to my parole officer, and I still haven't slept. Now it's been more than 24 hours. I was going off of adrenaline. And going to my parole officer's office, gave me the do's and don'ts and, when to report and what to look forward to with him. It was like an awakening. Like, yes, I'm free, but at the same time, not free. So on Mother's Day, I couldn't even go visit my mother because of the 50-mile radius restriction that I have because of parole.
What surprised you about being out?
One of the biggest surprises since I've been out is how accepting people are. That was one of my biggest concerns, on the inside. Is like, how will people perceive me? Are there going to be any judgment? But no, it is like totally opposite. I'm working in an office building where people know my past, and people are very accepting of it and forgiving as well. I'm really, really blessed in that way that people see me as what I can do and what I can offer, not what I've done in my past.
What's been hard for you?
I left some really great people back in prison. And the connection that I've built with some of the folks on the inside is really strong. And, I'm out here able to live life and enjoy it. And, it's a great feeling to have that freedom of choice. But also at the same time, it kind of like saddens me because my friends on the inside are still struggling. Some of them don't know if they're ever getting out. One thing that I did notice, the difference between folks that's on the inside and the folks on the outside is out here, people don't take the time to really like make eye contact. And if anything, I do miss that, right? Because I'm walking on the sidewalk and passing people up, people are looking at their phone or, you know, just giving that, that look, that, hey, don't look at me, don't talk to me, don't want to be bothered. I just want to go from A to B, right? On the inside, it's totally the opposite. We look people in the eye. You know, this signifies that, hey, you know, I'm about to cross your space right now, or even for like survival, or, you know, if I know you, it's an acknowledgement that you exist, right? I don't get that out here. Sometimes, I catch myself chasing eyeballs, and which is crazy because here I'm looking all like a creep, right? I'm looking like a creep, like I'm trying to make eye contact. The people don't do that.
Well, I wanted to ask more about those programs. You did a lot of programs in your time in San Quentin. You were part of programs that help youth offenders. You were in restorative justice programs, arts programs like Shakespeare and drama, also San Quentin Radio. And we just heard a story that you produced for San Quentin Radio. What did those programs mean to you then when you were on the inside, and how are you drawing on them now?
I got into a lot of trouble in Solano. I actually got transferred out of Solano. That wasn't a great feeling to be already in prison and then to be kicked out of a prison. That's crazy, right? Like, who gets kicked out of a prison? That was me. But, and, you know, when I was in San Quentin, I had the opportunity to really work on myself, you know, and I really give thanks, you know, and appreciate the folks who run these programs, right, and giving me access. And I think that was what was missing, is access. With access, we know comes a lot of things: empowerment, knowledge, you know, confidence. Looking back at the access that I was afforded, I feel really grateful for that.
What are your goals, hopes, and dreams, and what's next for you?
I want to be accountable to myself. Being incarcerated since I was 15, I grew up in the prison system, and I don't know any other adult life than when I was inside. Here I am, 22 years later, and it's like I'm thrown into the deep end right now, and I'm adjusting really well. But also at the same time, there's like a ton of people who support me, which makes this adjustment for me very easy. You know, I understand that a lot of other folks who are being released don't have the type of support that I have. And so here I am today in San Francisco in an office, you know, looking back at the access that I was afforded, and I feel really grateful for that. You know, and I want to continue to be involved in, you know, advocating for folks who can't really advocate for themselves.